Blog Talk Radio.
You know, people always ask me, what's the captain really like? Well, I'm compassionate. I mean, that woman, that Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, but I mean, this woman is so dumb. She walks out into the forest and the trees get stupider. I'm understanding.
You just bankrupted the frickin' country! What's the matter with you?
I'm willing to listen.
Oh, you gotta have everybody's point of view. You can't just dismiss other people's point of view.
You don't have a point of view.
I'm intelligent.
Oh, I'm glad you educated me on that. See, because I'm stupid. I didn't know that.
Hell, I'm the full meal deal.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now. Now. Now.
You feel that?
The program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. We're not concerned with it. We don't give a damn what the cost is. This is our freedom, damn it. Look, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program tonight? We'll be taking calls in the second hour, as always, 646-716-7978. Or you can join the captain's chat room, which you know I am horrible at that. I'm a terrible chat room guy. I don't like the chat room. Even when I listen to shows, I don't like to chat very much in the chat room. I like to listen to the show, but that's me. I'm a different kind of guy. So I open up the chat room for you. It's up to you. You chat away. And please do not send me these private messages. That's irritating. I don't respond to them. Chat away. Chat, 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 chat. If you want to talk directly to me, well, the number is 646-716-7978. See, I'm that kind of guy. I like to chat with my mouth. That's just me, but I'm me. I know. I'm not like all the other hosts. That's right. I'm not. I'm me. I'm like, there's only one host like me, and that's me. I flat refuse to be anybody but me. Now, whether you consider that right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, well, I guess that's up to you to decide. Anyway, moving right along, if you do want to speak to me, when you call, make sure you press the number 1. That way it gives me an icon, tells me that you want to talk. All right, remember, if you have a story out there where you have been tyrannized in any way, and I don't care about who, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care who you've been tyrannized by. Doctors, lawyers, judges, cops, Walmart greeters, I don't give a damn. It doesn't matter. You got a story out there where you have been tyrannized? Well, you got to get it out there. Well, I will give you that platform to exercise your First Amendment right. I am not here to discredit you. I'm not here to humiliate you. I'm not here to doubt you. I'm not here to test you. I'm simply here to allow you to have your First Amendment right. A platform. It's your story. I vet you to the point, but I mean, I can't, you know, there's only so much vetting I can do. So if you lie to me, well, then you lie. Have I been lied to before? I'm sure I have. I do know for a fact at least one. And that was a long time ago. But it doesn't matter. Look, you know, I'm a huge freedom of speech guy, a huge Bill of Rights guy. You don't have to like the speech. You can hate the speech, but it's still free speech. I know it sucks. A lot of people don't like to listen to things that they don't like to listen to. Well, who does? Well, I guess it's just part of life. You got to do a lot of things that you don't like to do. I hate doing things that I don't like to do. And it's every day, all day. But things got to get done. So you suck it up. You don't go to a cry-in, which we're going to get into that tonight. I mean, come on. America, for the love of God. And parents? You parents, are you a crybaby little college pukes? I mean, you should be embarrassed. You should be pissed off. You should be cutting off their tuition. So you want to go to college to cry? Well, pay for it on your own. You want to go to college to protest? Pay for it on your own. You want to go to college to play with crayons and Play-Doh? Pay for it on your own. God almighty. Oh, yeah, I didn't want to get into that this early, but I mean, I guess we're there. But in any event, we got to get this ship underway here. Look, now the bottom line is, if you've been tyrannized by somebody, look, your voice is important, and I believe this. Your voice is important. Don't worry about whether people like you or don't like you. Don't worry about that. That's not the point. The point is, you get your voice heard. You get it out there. If only one person hears it, well, you know, sometimes that's all it takes, is that one voice to hear. That's all it takes, that one voice. Sometimes that one person to hear that one voice, it can reverberate throughout the entire world. Strange how things like that happen, but they do. Why? I don't know. I didn't invent life and everything around it. I didn't invent the planets or the human beings. I didn't invent any of this stuff. I just understand certain things. And most of it's just freaking common sense. Common sense, he says. Ah, this bastard. Common sense over here. Common sense. Mr. Comedian. Mr. Funny Pants. Common sense. Ha! Common sense. Ah! Jesus Christmas. Common sense. What the hell is common sense? Also, support my other good friends on the Global Patriot Network, formerly known as the Radio Jihad Network. My good friend Vito Esposito on from Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday nights, my first mate, Kel Fritzy, from 6 to 8 p.m. Also, Annie from Southern Sense. She also comes on my Friday night sports show. She didn't come on last week. It's like she's going to have to get a whooping. And Joseph Gibson, with Understanding the Times in Which We Live In, he's on from Thursday nights and Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. He also comes on my sports show on Friday nights. And, of course, my girlfriend Audrey Russo from Real Talk. Also, she is simulcast on Red State Radio. She's going big time. Check her out. She's got a lot of really good guests. She's good. Just check her out. You don't have to worry about it. This is another thing that I love about Blog Talk Radio. Since there's a lot of people that, you know, that they're on at the same time, Blog Talk Radio immediately goes into archive. So you can always catch somebody's show. It doesn't matter who it is. You can catch their last show. You can catch it live. And if it's, you know, if it's over, well, wait a couple of minutes and boom, it pops right up and you can listen to the show as if you're listening to it live. That's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio. You can go back as far as they've gone. So you can listen to any show you want on demand. Click one freaking button, bada boom, bada bing. There it is. Full easy peasy, man. This is what I love about it. Blog Talk Radio's got a lot to offer. Sometimes their connection problems are irritating. But overall, Blog Talk Radio has a lot to offer. And there's a lot of good people on Blog Talk Radio. I think it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best one out there. It's the best internet radio internet radio site out there, hands down. I just wish sometimes these connection problems would not exist, but I wish a lot of things in life wouldn't exist. Like insects. There ain't a damn thing in the world I can do about it. But deal with it. When they come in the house, I squash them. Or I let my cat eat them. Bugs are not allowed in my house. I hate insects. I hate these freaking things. I don't understand it. I tell you, if I was God, I mean, look, let the stupid flowers bloom on their own. We don't need insects. We don't need insects to eat other insects. To eat other insects, we don't need all of that. Stop with all the middlemen. Let's cut to the chase here. Let's cut the crap. We don't need insects, and we don't need them inside the house. I mean, that's just, I mean, they're creepy, and they're, I mean, if you're going to make an insect, I mean, at least he could have done was, I don't know, made them a little more attractive? Huh? Right? Huh? The bugs creep me out, man. They give me the willies. I can't handle them. I've only got two phobias. Bugs and heights. That's it. Oh, and not being able to breathe. I don't like that. Of course, you know, most people don't. But in any event, let's get this damn ship underway over here. Let's get out of the damn harbor. Let's get underway. All right, let's go! Yeah, there we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors! All right, God almighty, oh God. Now that we're underway, we're out to sea. Oh, God. I'm so sick and tired of talking about crap. I have no idea as to why, how, and just, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. My brain is having great difficulties in trying to comprehend an understanding of a reason as to why these people are protesting and so upset. Now, during the Vietnam War, I remember when I was a little kid, I seen all that crap. It's on TV, seen it out everywhere. There were people protesting and all that, blah, blah, blah. They had a reason of why they were protesting. Not for nothing. Okay, some of them might have been a little, whacked out. But protesting the Vietnam War, I think most people, even if they agreed for the war, would agree that they had a reason to protest. But protesting that Donald Trump won the election, and I don't see that a legitimate reason. Or Colin Kaepernick, I did not see him, his, even though he has the right And I don't think that he should be persecuted. I don't think he should have any attention paid to him. If he wants to do it, then fine, do it. The media shouldn't even be talking about it. I shouldn't even be talking about it. But if you're going to do it and shut up about it. But his reasoning behind it, I did not believe in. And then to come to find out, this guy never even voted. And he's never voted. I mean, I just... And the protesters that were, I guess, in Oregon, I guess like 70% of them, come to find out, never voted. So this is where my brain is having difficulty. I mean, everything about this just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand where these kids are getting this much anger from, and what are they? Where is this anger coming from? I mean, it doesn't. None of this stuff makes any sense. Yeah, was I pissed off that Obama won? Not once, but twice. Yeah. You knew what this guy was going to be like, and he delivered as promised. American people can't take the crap anymore. I mean, you got Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida, and they called Florida pretty early. Thank you very much. When was the last time Florida was called on election night? It's always called the next, at least the next morning, if not, you know, 3 months later, after all the lawsuits and the court cases and the yeah, blah, 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 blah. But Florida was called relatively early and decisively. It was like there's no hands down, Florida, Trump. We're not even going to screw around. When was the last time Florida was called without a hitch and called early? It was called, Pennsylvania was the last state that was called that gave him over the hump. And that was called, God, I don't know what time in the morning it was here in New York. But it was getting ridiculous. I was up all friggin' night trying to watch this crap. And finally I got to the point, I just said, well, I mean, I just don't see how Hillary's going to win. I mean, you know, you're looking at, they're showing all the precincts that are in, but they can't quite make a decision. And Megyn Kelly's getting pissed off. I'm getting pissed off. I'm getting anxious. What the hell? Why can't you tell us the freaking, how, you know, I mean, you got, you know, New Hampshire. I don't even think New Hampshire's even been called yet. It's a tiny little state. The population of what, 440? What? It's going to take you a month to count the freaking votes? Come on. What the hell are you doing? Well, finally, I mean, they were showing, I mean, Trump was still ahead. He was ahead in Michigan, ahead in Pennsylvania. And it was like, you know, he's going to win one of these. The liberals, they went home. Hillary threw a fit. Did you hear about this? Oh. And I told my brother, you know, several days before the election, and I said, I would love to be, and we all knew it. We knew Donald Trump was going to win. We knew it. And the only way that she was going to win is if, you know, they were cheating. But we wanted to, you know, and I said I wanted to watch MSNBC or NBC or CNN, any one of those, and watch them have to say that Donald Trump was the next president, but I just didn't really care what they had to say. So I was watching, you know, Fox, and they did an all right job with it. I mean, it was a good job, you know, covering it. But, you know, several days before the election, We knew that he was going to win, but we wanted to be there. And I was talking to my brother, and we wanted to both be there inside the Clinton, you know, headquarters where she was, to find out how spastic she was going to become when she lost. And you knew it was going to happen. Well, she did it. I guess she was going nuts. Blew up all over her staff. Screaming at John Podesta, and she was drunk. They had to bring doctors in to give her a sedative. And that's when John Podesta came out and said, everybody go home. You know, it's too close to call. It's going to be forever. Everybody go home. Go home and cry. I mean, they knew it. Everybody knew it. And why they didn't call it, why it took so long to call it, I don't know. I think it was just a prolong, just to piss everybody off. I think what they wanted to do was to not humiliate Hillary Clinton. Like, who gives a damn? That's why they didn't call it, and that's why they allowed her to tell her people to go home. Everybody go to sleep, go to bed. Well, the Trump people, they weren't going nowhere, man. They were saying no. We're going to stay here all damn night. You know, and they're screaming, call it, call it. They knew that Pennsylvania was going to go to Trump. I mean, you could see the numbers. She had no chance to catch up. Why they didn't call it, I don't know. It was a bunch of crap. Games. God only knows. These people. I am really glad that Donald Trump won. Now is where the pressure is really on. I mean, Donald Trump thought he had a lot of pressure during the campaign. No. Your pressure hasn't begun yet. Your pressure begins the day that you are sworn in. And that pressure is that if Donald Trump does not deliver everything that he promised, yes, he is going to be in a lot of hot water, not from the left, but from the right. They are pissed off. They are not. They're not accepting the unacceptable anymore. And if Donald Trump flat refuses to, you know, deliver what he promised, or forgets about it, or blah, 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 whatever the case it may be, the American people don't really care what the excuse is. They don't care. And if Donald Trump thinks that he's going to automatically be nominated in 4 years, he might want to think that all the way through. American people are behind Donald Trump. I'm behind Donald Trump. I support Donald Trump. I support what he's trying to do, and I get it. I totally get it. And it's about time somebody at least stood up and at least friggin' tried. When was the last time we saw anybody try? We don't even get that. So maybe, we can bring a little bit of dignity, a little bit of class back at the White House. Have a little respect for the White House. Have a little respect for the position. Have respect for the country. Have respect for our values, our way of life, our history. Oh, God, what? Oh, you're a nationalist. Like, that's a bad thing, these frickin' creeps. Yeah, I am. Nothing wrong with it. Every nation should be a nationalist. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, a pride in your nation. Having national pride. I would expect every country. I'm sure Russia, they've got national pride. China. Liechtenstein, for crying out loud. I'm sure they've got pride in their country. Liechtensteinian pride, man. Liechtensteinian loud, Liechtensteinian proud. So kiss my ass. Nothing wrong with a country having pride in itself. Oh, no borders, no borders, no borders. Everybody wants no borders, but what they don't understand is everything that that actually really entails. Nobody wants to understand that. No, they don't want to. They think they want to live in La La Land. They want to live in Dreamville. There's nothing wrong with dreaming. Look, I mean, the human being would have never evolved into the species it is today if it did not dream. There's nothing wrong with dreaming, but living in a dream is, well, is fake. It's phony. It's not real. Okay? It's not real. And that's the Democratic Party. They're living in a dream. They're not living in reality. And you try to explain it to them, and then you end up being the racist and a homophobe. And a misogynist. You know, when I first heard of that word misogynist, I was thinking, I thought it was another word for a masseuse, you know? I mean, I heard, you know, masseuse, but a misogynist, and I just thought, well, maybe that's the new term for masseuses. They don't want to be called masseuses anymore, like you can't be called a stewardess. I'm not a stewardess, I'm a flight attendant. You're a stewardess. Shut up. I mean, I'm serious, but how is a stewardess offensive? I like that so much better, a stewardess, than flight attendant. Flight attendant makes it, I don't know. I just don't like using that term, flight attendant. I like the term stewardess. And if they're a guy, I guess they're a steward. It's not a big to-do. And stewardess, you know, I mean, just has that kind of, I don't know. I just like the name. Flight attendant, it just sounds too, I don't know. I just never liked it. I never liked that. Flight attendant. How are you attending to the flight? You're handing me coffee and peanuts. You're a stewardess. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having good-looking stewardesses. There's a lot of bitches, I'm telling you. Some of these airlines, man, some of these stewardesses, I mean, their dudes are, I mean, they're out of this world. And you don't even say anything to them. They're just, and they're screaming at everybody. Some of these, flight attendants, not stewardesses. I still think I like stewardess so much better. It sounds better. Flight attendant is so, I don't know. There's just, I don't like that. I just don't like that. I don't see how that's offensive. You can't say Chinaman. You can say an Englishman, because I guess they're white. Again, with the skin color, I don't know why different rules apply for different skin colors. I mean, I've never understood that about human beings. I don't understand where their thinking is. I know I'm not a human being. I've got to be part of another animal. I don't know what it is. But I've never understood the human being, their thought processes. Make no sense. Screw it. But in any event, again, oh God, it takes me forever to get through anything. I'm trying to cover what I'm going to cover tonight. And we haven't even covered anything yet. I haven't even told you what I'm going to cover. One thing. Who gives a damn? I've been off the air for a few days. I had a bunch of stuff that I had to do. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and there's nothing else you can do about it. event, where are the Clintons at? Anybody seen them? Where's it? Where's Hillary? Where's Bill? Nobody's paying him, you know, $2 million to give a speech? Where are they? The media's forgot about them. They're not, nobody. No, I mean, they're done, man. The Democratic Party has pretty much wiped them off, according to... There's a story in here, I guess, Chuck Todd. I want you to read hear his comments. And I'm not a Chuck Todd fan. He drives me nuts. He always did. I just thought he was a putz. He still is a putz. But listen to him. He disappeared. She's gone. Nobody knows where the hell she's at. Clinton's who, for better or worse, have dominated much of the air supply in the Democratic Party for the past 30 years, he says. Have kind of evaporated in the past week. Evaporated. I think that's a good thing. I'm glad. I don't even know why I even brought it up. I shouldn't have even brought it up. It was so nice and peaceful not having to talk about a Clinton. I've been talking about these frickin' people forever. They're irritating. I couldn't stand them in the early 90s. My God. I could not believe that Bill Clinton actually won. I did not see that one coming. And I know I just got a computer, my first computer, and I was on the internet before it was the internet. I had AOL and I had Prodigy, but it wasn't anywhere near what it is today. I mean, it was hardly anything. And I had Prodigy on, and they had a map, and I'm watching the election. I got the television on. I think I'm watching CNN or something, whatever, and I'm paying close attention to it, and I'm watching it, and when all these states are coming out, I said, you've got to be freaking kidding me. I said, how the hell did this guy win? I remember when they first came on the scene, and I looked one look at Bill Clinton. I said, this guy looks, he looks like he, you know, I'm trying not to be, you know, discriminatory, but, and, you know, rude or, you know, offensive in any way, but it looked like, you know, he was one of those kids that rode the short bus to school. He looked like an incest baby. This guy's not going to win. And the way he talked, I just said, this guy's not going to win. And then they showed his wife, Hillary. You know what the first word that popped into my head the very first moment that I saw Hillary Clinton on TV? It still burned into my brain. I remember it. I remember they showed her picture on television. I'm watching this. It was his wife. And the first word that popped into my head before I knew anything about the Clintons. At this point, I didn't know anything about them. I knew nothing about them. Nothing. And that's when the elections really didn't start. Now they're started two years. I mean, Obama in 2008, that went on for 2 years. He ran for president for 2 years. The campaigns they never used to be that long. Never used to be that long. Well, they showed her, and the first thing that popped into my head, the first word. I don't want to say the word, but it starts with the letter B and rhymes with the word itch. And I'll let you figure that one out. That's the first word that popped into my head when I saw her. the very first word. I mean, and I think it's proven out to be. Oh, you're just calling her that because she's a woman and she's strong. No, she's not strong. She's just a bitch. Everybody's a bitch. That's the easiest thing in the world to do is be a bitch. Anybody can be a bitch. Anybody can throw a temper tantrum when they don't get their way. We've seen that with Hillary Clinton. She threw a fit election night because she lost. Throwing things, I guess she was getting violent. They had to get doctors in there and sedate her. And she was drunk. And then she talks about Donald Trump's temperament. Hello, what? Shut up. I'm glad Hillary Clinton is gone. I'm glad she's out of the... I'm glad she's out. But Chuck Todd continues, it's not just that there's very little public criticism of Clinton in Washington circles. It's also that there's not really anyone rallying around her either. Of course there isn't. She never really had the fan base in the first place. She only bought certain people to vote for her. She bought her superdelegates. If there was a legitimate race where there was none of these superdelegates and you buy them off and all this, Bernie Sanders would be the nominee. And Donald Trump would have smoked him. I mean, it would have been 49, 50 states. But because it's Hillary Clinton... Like, what does that mean? Oh, she's Hillary Clinton. Okay, yeah, but what does that mean? Well, you don't know who she is? Well, yeah, I know who she is, but what does that mean? Well, she's Hillary Clinton. Yeah, but what has she done? Oh, she's done so much. Oh, you can't name all the stuff she's done. But can you name one? No. Why? Well, because she hasn't done anything. Everything that she has actually tried to do has been a failure. She's actually a loser. She's failed at everything. Everything she has touched has been a disaster. Remember her health care that she had? A disaster. Even her own party. They told Bill Clinton. They told Bill, the president, they said, Bill, look, Bubba, Mr. Prez, your wife, yeah, we need to have a little chat here. She need not try to play in any more little reindeer games from now on. Send her to Bosnia under sniper fire and... You know, have her, you know, send her to Northern Ireland. She can have a tea party and bring peace to the entire region. But get her out of policy. But she's an idiot. She was fired from the Watergate committee because she, well, violated the committee rules, the House rules, the Constitution. She was corrupt. She was dishonest. She's a creep. And she wasn't even supposed to be there. That was actually supposed to be Bill. That was supposed to be Bill. But Bill was, I guess, you know, avoiding the draft over there in England somewhere. God only knows what the hell he was doing. I can't remember. I think he was in England or had to go to England for something. He had to go do something. I don't know what he was doing. But I remember him telling this story a long time ago, many years ago, I think when he was still president. And he said, yeah, I mean, I was supposed to be there, but he said I couldn't make it for whatever reason. I can't remember. I don't know. And he said, how about my girlfriend? She's a lawyer. They said, okay. Well, she really was. I mean, she was a lawyer, but she really wasn't doing very much. I mean, it's, you know, like Hillary, go give me this file. Or go give me that file. Well, she didn't want to be, you know, the little file girl. She wanted to do stuff. Well, she got a little too ambitious. And she got fired. Well, she thought that she was just going to walk in here. She thought she was just going to take the presidency away because it was owed to her. But that's why he lost, because she thought it was owed to her. Well, she should have learned her lesson in 2008 when she thought that the presidency was owed to her. Well, there's reasons why she was not elected president. There's a lot of people in a lot of high places that would not allow that to happen. And they made damn sure it did not happen. And thank God they made damn sure that that did not happen. Look, Hillary Clinton would have been a disaster. I'm sorry, but this woman is incompetent. She's a yutz. She's incompetent. What has she succeeded in? What has she done? Oh, she was a senator. Well, she wasn't a real senator. She was selected, not elected. And what did she do as a senator? Yeah. That's what she did as a senator. The smartest woman in the world. First woman born with a brain. And it's bigger than men's. Oh, doctors are amazed. Well, the queen is too embarrassed to face the people. I, for one, can't wait to see her face trial. And now we got Reggie Jackson. Oops, sorry. Did not mean that. Jesse Jackson. Slip of the tongue. Sorry, Reg. Was not trying to... But Jesse Jackson is now calling on Barack Obama to give Hillary Clinton a full pardon of any crimes that she may or may not have committed. Well, I think he probably will, as creepy as this Barack Obama is. I just hope that he doesn't. I just hope that he doesn't. Because of the crimes that this woman has committed, I'm sorry, but these are legitimate, real crimes. You want to look at what Richard Nixon did. Did Richard Nixon mishandle any classified information? No. Did he allow classified information to get into the hands of five foreign intelligence agencies? No, he did not. Did anybody mysteriously die accidentally from natural causes who are about to testify against Richard Nixon? No, that did not happen. No. Did Richard Nixon diminish security from any embassy throughout the world, especially, let's say, I don't know, anything in Vietnam era? Did he do that? When they attacked, did he go up upstairs to go to sleep? Did he blame it on a video? No. He didn't do any of that. Didn't do any of that. You look at the crimes, the so-called crimes that Richard Nixon committed compared to what Hillary Clinton has committed. I mean, Hillary Clinton has been committing crimes for a long time. Did Richard Nixon launder money? I don't remember that. Did Richard Nixon have a pay-to-play operation? You can't speak to the president unless you pay? Did that happen with Richard Nixon? I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that ever coming out. Richard Nixon tried to cover up what his boys did on his behalf. Unbeknownst to him, they were just out there trying to gather information. Well, he didn't know what the hell they were doing. So then he tried to cover it up. He tried to stick up for his boys. That's loyalty. And what Richard Nixon so-called did in the early 70s today is not only encouraged, but I mean, it's taught. And now we're teaching our high school kids. High school kids are walking out of class. They got teachers that are taking their high school kids out of class to protest a fair and legal election. And these are the people, the Democrats, who talk about democracy. The Democratic Party talks about democracy. Well, democracy won. Democracy said Donald Trump is the president. Oh, wait a minute. Hillary won the popular vote. Hillary won the popular vote. The popular vote is irrelevant. It's the popular vote for the state. Every state has a voice. You're going to get rid of the Electoral College. You got to get rid of the states. The Electoral College gives every state a voice. But that's why we have it. That's why we have. Well, the more people you have living in your area, the more representatives you have. It's just the way it is. And we've had this forever. But when one side loses, we gotta change it. So this can never happen again. I guess the Democrats are, I guess it's a constitutional right that they win every single time. And the president, with all of his executive orders, well, if Congress is not going to do it, well, I got a phone and I got a pen. I'm just going to get it done. So I guess it's in the Constitution, since he's a constitutional scholar, of course he says he was, and a constitutional professor, which he wasn't a professor. He was nothing but a guest speaker that rarely showed up. And when he did, evidently what I hear, he was drunk. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells you a hell of a lot. But it's in the Constitution, according to him, that if you're the president, you get your way. But no, that's called a king. We don't have royalty in America. Maybe they didn't teach American history in Kenya or Indonesia or wherever the hell you grew up. But American history, we fought the British because of royalty, and we got rid of royalty. We don't have royalty in America. We don't have it. We don't know what that is. We don't like it. And we won't have it. Don't understand how people, I mean, the Constitution, if you read it, and it doesn't take a lot of brain power to read it and understand it. There's a couple of terms in there you may have to look up, because we don't use those terms anymore in our vernacular. But for the most part, the overwhelming vast majority of it, it's very simple and very easy to understand. But people try to pervert it. This is what pisses me off. And then you get blamed if you're one of these, oh, well, you're a constitutional literalist. You take the Constitution literally. Well, yeah, I do. I'm sorry. But, I mean, how else am I supposed to take it, for the love of frickin' God? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. How am I supposed to take that any other way? Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. How am I supposed to take this the wrong way? I don't get it. Or abridging the freedom of speech. Congress can make no law that abridges freedom of speech. So how am I supposed to take this another way? I don't know. Except for literally. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. How am I supposed to take that any other way other than shall not be infringed? I know what shall not means, and I know what infringed means. I may not be Albert Einstein, but I'm a far cry from Duffer Dumbbutt. I know what shall not means, and I know what infringed means. Why does our government not know what this means? If a dummy like me knows what these words mean, how come they don't? Well, they do. Damn good and well what these words mean. They know what they mean. But they're trying to tell you, well, I got a law degree, so I'm going to tell you, the peasant, of what this means. This is what it means. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Now, I'm going to tell you there, Mr. College Gadget. I'm going to tell you what the hell it means. It means, quite simply, that the government cannot take away your friggin' guns, and they cannot pass any laws that infringe on your right to keep and bear arms. That's what it means. You're a constitutionalist, you're a nationalist. Yeah, I am. Pretty damn proud of it, too. I don't see why that's a big to-do. They think that because if you're a nationalist, you hate all other countries. What? I don't know where the hell people are getting this from. That doesn't make any freaking sense. No, most of these idiots never been to other countries. Well, I have. I've been to a bunch of them. And I love the opportunity of going to these countries. I love seeing their culture versus ours, comparing the two. They're quite different. I mean, you get away from the United States. I mean, believe it or not, people do live differently. These people have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And again, what are they protesting? Why are these school teachers and these college professors allowing their students to miss class, go to these cry-ins where they're given therapy puppies, Play-Doh, crayons, hot chocolate? I mean, these are major universities, Cornell University, Michigan Law School, University of Michigan Law School, Harvard. These are top-notch schools here, and they're pulling this crap. I mean, these kids, I mean, somebody tried to offer me, you know, I mean, go to a cry-in with hot chocolate and all that Play-Doh. I mean, I don't play with Play-Doh. Crayons? Get the hell out of here. Crayons! Get your crayons. And they're so distraught. Well, how come the high school teachers and the college professors can't teach their students that, look, hey, you know, you talk about democracy, democracy, democracy. Isn't that part of the Democratic Party, hence the word democratic democracy? Hello? That's the democracy that we have. We don't really live in a democracy. It's a, you know, a representative republic, but there is a certain democracy. We vote. And the popular vote is within the state. The state, every state has a value. Certain number of people. The majority of this state says we want this person. The majority of that state says we want that person. You add them all up, who wins? Who wins? Oh, but the majority, shut up with the majority. That has nothing to do with it. These people don't understand. And you're going to get rid of the Electoral College. You got to get rid of the states. People don't understand that. They only see the superficial side of everything. This is what I just don't understand, these people. They piss me off. I don't understand people like that. You gotta crack open that top, man. You gotta dig deep down inside and pull out that pink juicy meat that's in the middle. That's where it's at, man. Stop looking at everything on the surface. That's all liberals see, is everything is on the surface. Oh, if it looks good, you know, it smells good, oh, then it is good. These people, they're lazy-minded people. They just take the easy route every single time. They're lazy. They're lazy-minded people. But to be called a constitutional literalist? I know I can't say that word. I suffer from a chronic broken left-handed tongue, and I do murderate the entire English language every time I speak. But literalist, good God, all these L's and I's and vowels and all this crap mixed together, my tongue can't handle that. Yeah, but I do. The bottom line is this. I do take the Constitution literally. How the hell else am I supposed to take it? I don't understand it. How else am I supposed to take this? Well, see, you don't need, and this is the beauty of the Constitution, is you don't need to be a constitutional scholar to read and understand the Constitution. Madison, of all people, wrote it that way specifically. Now, if you read Federalist Papers, him and Hamilton, God damn. I mean, they just go on and 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 on. Blah, blah, blah. Get to the point, boys. Get to the freaking point. But the Constitution was written for the common man so everybody could read it and understand it. You do not need to be a constitutional scholar to read and understand the Constitution, but you do need to be a constitutional scholar in order to pervert the Constitution. I'm sick and tired of people thinking, well, okay, they're a lawyer, they know more than me, so I'm just going to allow them to pervert the Constitution and just agree with them. Because they're a lawyer and I'm not. Well, what is that? What the hell does that have to do with anything? Being a lawyer, what? A lawyer? What does that have to do with anything? Just because, what? You don't need to be a doctor to know that you're sick. You don't need to be a lawyer to know that you're, well, breaking the law. So if I go in and rob a bank and I get caught by the cops, I go into court and I say, hey, judge, hey, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't know the law. Oh, okay, let him go. He doesn't have a piece of paper with his name on it, so how in the hell is he supposed to know the law? This is what irritates me about people. Because you're not a lawyer means you don't know the law. Well, wait a minute. When you get in trouble, you go to court, ignorance is no excuse of the law. So what the hell is it? I mean, the Constitution is for everybody. And I really wish that they – I really wish – this is what I really, really wish. And I remember covering the Constitution when I was in school. We barely covered it. We didn't really cover it all that much. We really didn't. I was a little disappointed. But it's public school, so what do you want? And now look, I grew up in the public school district. My whole family, teachers, from kindergarten all the way up to deans of major universities. And that's no joke. So, yeah, I do know the mentality of a teacher. I do know, I know teachers. I know teachers. And you can't tell a teacher is a teacher, because if you do, you're just a big hater. Well, hopefully Donald, speaking of teaching, hopefully Donald Trump gets rid of this Common Core, which is Jesus Christmas, good God. And bring education locally. Now, I don't have a problem with states mandating that students, there are certain requirements that you've got to know this much by this grade, this much by that grade, blah, 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 blah. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a good thing. But I think what needs to be taught, and before you can graduate high school, and it doesn't matter what your color is, just because you're black doesn't mean you're just going to get a passing grade, because we don't want to be discriminatory. You're going to have to study. Suck it up. And I went to school. This was a white friend of mine. So it's not just against blacks. It's against people. Teachers don't want to fail students because they don't want to. They want to push everybody through. They fail a student, well, that goes against them. Oh, wait a minute. Your students are failing. Why are they failing? Well, because you're not teaching. Well, we graduated high school and we went in, we went to college, went to the city college there. And we had a class together. We had English, and I had to take it simply because of the scholarship that I got. I had to take the stupid thing. I didn't want to take it. But I had to take a lot of crap that I didn't want to take, so I took it. And I'm with him. Well, he went through all high school and 2 years of college, and then had to go to Portland State University to get this, to learn how to read and write. And this was in the early 80s, for God's sakes. Actually, mid-80s. So nothing's really changed. We just, are starting to find out about it more. Thank God to social media. But I really strongly believe that there should be a national criteria that you cannot graduate high school without a certain level of understanding of the United States Constitution, period. Well, see, this is where we're going to run into trouble, because we're going to get teachers from different areas, and they're going to be all, well, the Constitution, we're going to teach the Constitution this way because, it's racist and homophobic. And other states are going to change the Constitution. Well, here's the Constitution. It provides freedom and lays it out here, right here, in black and freaking white. So what the solution is, I don't know. How do we eradicate liberalism? That is really the solution. How do you eradicate it? Well, hopefully Donald Trump can eradicate a lot of it by simply producing results. And that's what I was talking about very early on in the show, that Donald Trump actually has a lot of pressure on him. He has to succeed. If Donald Trump does not succeed, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. And again, not from the left, but from the right. The right will eat him up. They're not going to care. Look, you promised us this, this, and this. This is what we wanted. This is why we voted for you. So you give us what we want, or, you know, we're not going to nominate you again. We're not going to get screwed again. The right is, we're tired of getting screwed. So we're going to give you an opportunity. You blow it, you're out. We're going to bring someone in that won't. I think I got a lot of faith in Donald Trump. I really do. I got a lot of faith in Donald Trump. And I think he's going to succeed if we don't have Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell step in his way. We got a legitimate Congress. That's what we need. But if Donald Trump can start producing results, well, these states are going to see it. He's going to get Michigan again. He's going to get Pennsylvania again, Ohio, Florida, Wisconsin. But he's going to pick up other states like Minnesota, Colorado, New Mexico, quite possibly even Oregon. Now, Oregon was a little, you know, Oregon's Oregon. I grew up in Washington State, and Washington's liberal. The place that I grew up was not that liberal. We really weren't liberal. And where I live here in Long Island, not liberal. So I you know, and I lived in California. And I lived in areas that were not liberal. So everywhere I lived has been a liberal state, but in a conservative-like community. It's crazy. But if Donald Trump can produce results and start to show that his policies are actually working and the crime rates start going down, black people are finding more jobs, they don't have time to be gangbangers anymore. We got fewer and fewer people of crossing our borders, violating our sovereignty, committing crimes such as rape. Sorry, but they do. Child molestation, murder, drunk driving, robbery. Drugs, you name it. And once these communities, once these states start to see this, well, they're gonna go with them again. And that's the only way to win these people over, is to show them the results. But see, with a liberal, the more evidence you show that they're wrong, well, the more that they continue their argument. So there's really no way to really win them, to really win them over, unless, I mean, other than just to simply do what you got to do. Do your job. Stick to it. Stick to your plan. Show the results. And, yeah, there's going to be pockets of resistance all over the place, but those numbers are going to be fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. But I really do believe that not only Barack Obama, but Hillary Clinton along with all the other Democrats, Dirty Donna Brazil, Debbie Dum Dum Wasserman Schultz, Sheila Jackass Lee, all the rest of these, and Nancy Pelosi. Good God, that woman is dumb. I mean, she is a dummy. Oh, God. Oh, my God, what a dumb woman. What a dumb, 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 dumb woman she is. Just dumb. You're always going to have these people. But see, the American people are sick and tired of it. And I think a lot of Democrats, real Democrats, are sick and tired of the slime and the filth and the trash. And they want them out as well. Well, I really believe that that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton combined together have really destroyed. It's going to be a long while before the Democrats become president again. It might be a while before they get any, you know, any control of the House or the Senate. Well, that really all depends on Donald Trump. If he can produce results, well, then we're going to be able to keep the House and the Senate. But if Donald Trump does not produce results, especially in his first 100 days, which he promised, there's a lot riding on it. He may or may not understand it. I think he does. And I got faith in him that he's going to do it. He's one of these kind of guys. He says he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I think his track record has proven that. But I got a lot of faith in him, and I really hope that he does succeed. His policies succeed. Once his policies succeed, I mean, the liberals are going to argue no matter what. The liberals will argue anything. They'll argue liquid water is wet. You know, a Republican says that this water is wet. Oh, no, it's not, you racist bastard. How dare you call it that? That's discriminatory. You're a racist. This is how these people are, these frickin' freaks. They're freaks. Well, the American people are tired of it. And they're not buying the crap anymore. And these liberals, they don't understand it. They can't figure it out. Why are the American people not buying our BS anymore? Why are they not buying it? Well, because there's nothing to it. It doesn't deliver. You keep telling us and telling us and telling us, but you can never show us. We're tired of it. So you're out. We're going to go to this direction, and we're not going to go Republican either. We're going to go somebody completely different. We're going to go somebody who's not a politician. We want to drain the swamp. And I hope he does. I hope he does. Good for him. We might get at least 4 years where we got the country actually running like it's, you know, trying to run anyway, like it's supposed to. And maybe it might set a precedence for the next election and the next and the next and the next. And maybe we can avoid a civil war. Maybe we can avoid a world war. This new world order. Don't look. Don't think this new world order is what you think it is. The new world order is going to bring nothing but a new world war. Period. That's all it's going to bring. There's going to be all these people that want to rule the world. They want to be the commissioner of the world. Everybody's going to be fighting everybody, and this is what they want. They want to decrease the human population. Well, if all these people really believe in decreasing the human population is going to save the planet, well, here's what I tell you. Lead by example. So why don't you go off yourself, show us how it's done, save the planet, and then we can move on. Well, they don't want to do that. No, they want to kill the peasants. Well, who's going to be their slaves? Well, I guess that's, you know, the middle class. I mean, people just don't think things all the way through. They hear something like globalization. Oh, that means global. Oh, everybody's global. Everybody's the same. Oh, yeah, I can get into that. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, yeah, I'm into that, sure. But they don't seem to understand what it all really means, what it all brings. Liberalism, you have to have a lazy mind to be a liberal. I really believe that. I really, really believe that. How can these people be so naive, so gullible, so easily influenced? They're protesting Donald Trump because their candidate, the criminal, of what she did in Libya, pre, during, and post Benghazi, what she did to Haiti, they raped these people dry. The Clintons raped them, literally, financially raped them, stole everything they had, left them with nothing. And the Clintons made hundreds of millions of dollars. That's criminal. This woman allowed classified information to her maid to copy and send classified information from her home? Her maid? And we do have reports that at least five foreign intelligence agencies have a 99% chance that they breached her computer. Well, 99% chance when it comes, it's 100%. But they're gonna protest Donald Trump because he was on a bus talking locker room talk with his buddies. And any guy who says that he's never talked that way is a liar. Either that or they just never lived. And when guys, look, most guys are gentlemen. So when they talk like that, they're talking like that because the women aren't around. When the women are around, you really think the guys are going to talk like that? Hell no. Hell no. The women leave. Oh, yeah. They're pounding their chest. Oh, yeah. Grabbing her by the periwinkle, throwing her down. Hell yeah. Yeah. I'm a man. Yeah. The women come in. Oh, honey. Oh. You're so pretty. I love you. So they're going to protest Donald Trump. And they're going to promote Hillary Clinton. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Hillary Clinton is a criminal. Money laundering. That's what they use. That's what they use their foundation for. And these reports of not only Bill Clinton. Now, these reports have been out for a long time. Bill Clinton did make several trips to Orgy Island with his friend, was it Jeffrey Epstein, where they had underage girls and boys as sex slaves. Well, it looks like now the bill not only went the few times that he said that he flew down there just to, you know, just to have brunch with his old friend. But he didn't see any of the underage girls. No, he didn't see any of those. No, they weren't there when I was there. I don't know. I don't know nothing. Well, it looks like he flew not only just a few times that he said he flew, but he flew upwards around 30. It looks like Hillary Clinton might have flown there at least 6 times. So why was she down there? There's a lot of crimes that Hillary and Bill and Chelsea have actually committed. Chelsea Clinton has been living off of the funds that people send to the Clinton Foundation. They give the Clintons all this money and go help these people that need it. Well, the Clintons, they don't give 5% of the money that they get goes to charity. How's that a charity organization? 5%? Oh, you nuts? That's not a charity organization. My God, it's a money-making machine. Well, she was not only living off of these funds and a lavish lifestyle to boot, but she paid for her $3 million wedding. And these people want to protest Donald Trump. They say Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Well, how is Hillary Clinton president? She blames what happened in Benghazi off of video. 600, what was it? It was well over 600 times. The exact number, I don't know. 660 or something, I don't know. It's a stupid number. Well over 600 times. Ambassador Chris Stevens cried for more security. We need more security. We're dying here. Well, come on, we need security 600 times. And it was ignored. Then when they get under attack, they were ignored. But these people want to protest Donald Trump. And they want to give Hillary Clinton a pardon. They want to burn the cities down. Donald Trump is unfit to be president. Hillary Clinton is unfit to be president. Mentally, physically, psychologically, every way imaginable. And now these people, they need, these kids need therapy puppies? You can hold a puppy? And that's supposed to make you feel better? Because Donald Trump won? How about these teachers teaching democracy that, look, when the majority of the people vote for this person, well, they win. And yeah, it is a majority of the people per state. Every state has a voice. There's a reason why we have the Electoral College. It's to give every state a voice. Every state is important. People don't understand that. Again, they only see the superficial side of it. Well, look, Hillary Clinton didn't have a message, number one. Oh, I'm going to fight for gay rights and women rights and minority rights. All right. You're going to fight. But how? Doing what? For what? What rights do they not have that you want to give them? Well, I'm going to fight for minority rights and women's rights. They need to be paid the same amount as men. Oh, really? Well, then why does the Clinton Foundation pay their women much less than they pay the men? If Hillary Clinton isn't supposed to be a champion for women's rights, why does her own foundation pay women much less than she pays men? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't do it. I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand how people could be supporting this well, creature, whatever the hell it is. Well, it looks like we've got a guest here. So let's bring our guest on board. I'm choking here tonight, so forgive me. I've been choking and coughing all freaking night. Why? I don't know. Who the hell knows? So let's bring Jeremy on board here, see, find out what the hell he has to say. Jeremy, my good friend, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you so much, Cap. You know, honestly, not a whole lot. I would have called in sooner, and but I don't know. It's deer season in Michigan.
Yes, it is.
I just spent the last 2.5 hours cutting up reed deer. So been a lot of stuff on my plate.
Hey, congratulations on you. Congratulations.
Well, they weren't mine. They
voting
weren't mine.
Donald Trump.
Yes. Yeah. I've had a couple of my friends and I, we've had a nice little go around. Our views, we both voted the same way, but it was for different reasons. And I mean, I still have my hesitations with Donald Trump being president. I still support him, but I'm like that, I don't know, I got that feeling in my stomach, like that little jittery feeling, because it's a complete unknown. It really is. It's a complete unknown, because he's not a politician, which that's why I like him. But that being said, when it comes to politics, all right, I don't know what his stances are on, you know, basic stuff. I mean, he's a very good speaker. Excuse me. He's a very good speaker, and that's a lot of what it is I think why a lot of other people voted for him. That and the fact they're sick and tired of the damn Democrats going the direction they're going. So I think that's why he won, and I'm thankful for that. But
well,
I still
think
have
the American people
feeling.
Just got tired of politicians, period. Republican
exactly.
And Democrat. They were sick of the Republicans. They were sick of the Democrats. And when Donald Trump came along, he's not a politician, and he can't be bought. You can't
exactly.
buy him. Hillary Clinton is bought.
What was
She's bought and paid for. All of these guys. Obama bought and paid for. All
right.
of them. But what are you going to buy Donald Trump with? The moon? And what the hell is he going to do with the freaking moon?
Everything. Yeah, you can't offer Donald Trump anything he can't already buy for himself. So, and that's the beauty of it, because he doesn't care. I mean, loosely phrased, I guess. I might want to clarify that. But
right.
he really doesn't care. You know what? He has his own agenda. And fine. And he's willing to go through the process.
Well, you know, I think there might
he's
be a couple of hiccups, you know, in that he's going
yeah.
to try to run the country like a boardroom. And, you know, there might be some hiccups because politicians don't run, politics like, you know, a boardroom would run a company.
But, well, right. No, I understand that. But yet, if you look back through our presidents, the last president we had that wasn't an actual politician, per se, like stereotypically, was Reagan.
Right.
And when Reagan became president, the country thrived.
Mm-hmm.
It was – he kind of did what he had to do, you know, set some ground rules, and literally ran it like a business.
Right.
And honestly, that's when the country thrived. That's when we were massive superpower.
I mean,
we had the Cold War with Russia, but it is what it is. I mean,
well, we had that Cold War with Russia as soon as World
need.
War II
no,
was
it's been
over.
Going on. Yeah, it's been going on for years. And honestly, I don't ever think it ever ended. But
no,
I'm
it
saying,
hasn't.
The point I'm trying to get at is it's nice to get somebody in that position of power
mm-hmm.
with the country's well-being in mind, not politically the country
right.
in mind, but the actual well-being of the working class, of the homeless, of everybody else in mind. I mean, I could have swore I read yesterday or the day before. So it was yesterday, day before. Trump was on, when he was on 60 Minutes, could have swore I heard him say that he was going to take $1 an hour for pay. He was going to give up that $400,000 salary to be president.
$400,000, I mean, to Trump? I mean, he makes that up, in, what, before lunch?
But at the same time, I think what he said was, like, the way he phrased it, was that $400,000, he was going to donate back into the system to help funding everything,
mm-hmm.
to help put back into the country. So, and that's why I voted for him, because I think that I may not agree with all of his ideas, but I got ahead of myself. And like I said, it's been a long day. I agree with his ideas. I may or may not agree with how he's wanting to execute those ideas, but I think it's a great starting point. And he has enough voice and bravado and showmanship, for lack of a better term, to where he can grab the attention of anybody else. And he's a really excellent speaker, I think. Unscripted, it's just a straight, here it is. He talks to you like you're an actual person, not like you're, I don't know, a number, basically, like most politicians will talk to you. And so I think the execution might need some tweaking, but I do agree with his ideas.
Well, you know what I liked about it before he got on his teleprompter, and I really wish they wouldn't have put him on that teleprompter. It irritated me. But when he was off of his teleprompter and he just was talking, he just was Donald Trump. And, you know, he talked to you, and it reminded me kind of like when – in sales, I don't know if you've ever been in sales, but in sales, there's a lot of meetings, and they get you pumped up before the day, and, you know, there's a lot of meetings, and, you know, blah, 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 a lot of energy, and the guy who, you know, the general manager or whoever's delivering the meetings, they've got to have that, you know, that X factor that gets the people motivated, gets them pumped up, and that's what he was doing. That's how what reminded me.
Exactly.
Is I'm in a sales meeting, and here comes in the general manager, and he's doing his job and getting you all pumped up, and so then when the meeting's over, you go out there and you sell, and you do that. That's how I took Donald Trump, and I have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of politicians that may not understand that this guy is running, going to be, you know, more businesslike, and he's not going to put up with the BS. He's not going to put up with the garbage. He's not going to put up with the nonsense. And if you pull it, he's going to have you removed from the meeting room, which I love. He's a no nonsense guy, and you can't buy him.
Exactly.
You know,
And that was kind of the point I was trying to get at was, I may not agree on how his plan for executing his ideas are,
right?
Because, well, it still is politics. I mean, it is what it is. But I do agree with the ideas he's coming up with. I mean,
right.
the one for me that I just kind of threw out the window and just gave a brush off to was building the wall. I mean, honestly, there's not going to ever be a wall.
I don't think
it is what it is. I thought it was a great dog and pony show when he brought it up. Honestly, most of the people I work with, they're migrant workers. They're immigrants. Maybe half the people I work with are illegal. It is what it is. But I tell you what. They're hardworking people.
Yes,
I mean,
they are.
Okay, don't get me wrong. I think that they could have gone about being here a different way, but I'm not going to knock them because they're here busting their asses, doing work that anybody else, Joe Schmuckatelli, wouldn't do.
Right.
Because they feel that it's beneath them. And they're busting their butts. And it's putting food on their tables, and they're sending money back home. So I give them props for that. I just think that if they want to be here, I'm not agreeing with the whole being here illegally. If I want to be here, there's ways to go about it. I think that if we were to, reevaluate how immigrants come into the country?
Well, you know,
I think that's what most people are
when they hear build the wall. I think that's really where they're at. Now, I really don't think that the majority of the American people could really care less whether there is an actual physical, you know, Great Wall of Mexico, you know, built or not.
Right.
But what they care about is if the border is secure. Right now, it's not secure. If you can secure the border without building this giant wall, I think the American people are going to be fine with that. What their problem is, what their point is they're tired of, look, you can't be an illegal alien in Mexico. You're an illegal alien in Mexico. You go to their jail for a long time, and their jails are not like ours.
And it's not fun. No, it's not a fun place. I may or may not have spent, to be more specific, may or may not have spent two nights in a Mexican jail. I'm just saying. Let's just say it's all hearsay.
I agree.
It's not the most comfortable
hearsay
of situations. It's what happens. You know, you got weekend leave. You got 4 days, and you go down to Tijuana and Rosarita. I was down in Rosarita.
Been there.
I may or may not have opened my mouth to the wrong person.
Right. It happens.
But, you know, it is what it is. I'll still own it. Honestly, I'm kind of glad I had the opportunity to experience that because it gave me a whole new look on everything else. But, no, I agree. Not necessarily a wall. Just secure the border a little bit better.
Right.
I think
that's what people are really – really more concerned about. Most people, I don't think, even the people that are chanting, build the wall, build that wall, know realistically there's not going to be a wall built. Now, there's probably going to be some of it built. I'm sure there's going to be some of it built. I'm sure there is. And there's ways to make Mexico pay for it with trade and with this and with that. I'm sure that's probably
going
to do.
And I'm sure if there's a wall that's going to be built in sections, it's going to be in high traffic areas.
Right. Right.
You know, Tijuana, that border crossing, that's secure as all get out. Last I remember.
Oh God, please.
But
forget
you know,
about
like
it.
Bits and pieces of Texas and whatnot. Yeah. No,
right.
I can see main high
You're not
going to
build no big giant
wall
over the Rio Grande so nobody can see it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You know, that's not going to happen.
But, again, I have my reservations just personally. I mean, again, like I said, I voted for Trump, but I still have my reservations because I think it's a lot of my reservations are that thought of the unknown. Kind of like, you know, when you went through MEPS, and just before you joined and took the oath and went to boot camp, you're 18 years old. You don't know what the hell is going to happen to you after you do that and you get on that bus. I mean, it's that anxiety, uneasy feeling.
Yeah, but it's also kind of exciting.
Right.
I'm finding it kind of exciting in a way that I'm looking forward to, well, maybe things might you know, certain things might start to change. Maybe we might start having, you know, our trade deals where we're allowed to have our businesses back in America, where Michigan can actually start building cars again.
Well,
I mean,
sure you saw that the Ford company already started pulling out.
I worked
out
for Ford for many years,
and coming back to America since then. And now here's the part that really wobble-cocked my brain was, okay, when Obama took office, like during that whole election period and he was, you know, president-elect, I was working for a company doing, CNC work. So I was working in a factory doing aluminum work and CNC machining, this and that. I got laid off. And the reason they gave me was because there was a change in power. like it shifted because it went from Bush to Obama. So it was like a flat out brand new regime. And that's obviously, you know, when Obama first took office, the whole economy took a crap. I was laid off for 6 years. I found a job I'm doing now eventually. And now all of a sudden, I'm not going to lie, honestly, you know what, nobody else I know that I worked with is going to hear this because they're not going to listen to this. And if they do, let's consider me, I had a nice interview. I've actually been called into an interview for hiring, even on the precipice of the change of regime. So for me, that's a great sign. Because when Obama first took office, here in Michigan, you couldn't find a job for nothing. And I've gotten 3 to 5 phone calls, like 3, 4, 5 different phone calls from the same company wanting me to come in and interview with them.
I mean, is that just
so
recent?
For me, yeah, actually, I did my interview last night. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And it was after hours. That was the beauty of it.
Cool.
It was after hours. So, yeah, me personally, I'm like walking on cloud 9 right now. And it's 5 minutes from my house. What better deal is that? I'm going to save, if I get this job, I'm going to save $80 in gas, plus another $70 a week in babysitting. That's $150 a week. That's
Look how much more beer you can buy with that, huh?
Oh, I'm not telling my wife that one. Actually, with that extra $150, I'll probably start brewing my own.
Well, she'll get that $150. Don't worry about it. It'll go into her bank account.
I make her earn it.
Well,
I
hate to cut this
party
short here, but
yeah, no worries.
We do got to get going. I got to cut out here early. I got some things that I got to do. So we're cutting out a little 15 minutes early. That's all right. But in any way, Jeremy, thank you very much for calling in tonight. Good discussion with you all the time. And tomorrow, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be fun night. Tomorrow's going to be a fun night. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. So I want to thank all those that were listening on their smartphones, those that were listening in the chat room, and those that do listen into archive. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.